And I'd like to introduce our speaker. Oh, come on up here. It's all right. Yes. Mitch and Sharon Giese are with us, right? Am I pronouncing it right? They're from Zambia. I'd like to turn the time over to him.
This flashlight's not in case the lights go out tonight. It's just for the slides later on for me to be able to use. You might laugh about that, but one of the times I was speaking in a place and I didn't have slides and the lights weren't supposed to go out and the lights went out and so did the power, and it was air conditioning and it was the middle of summer and it was right before we went out to Africa, and needless to say, I was explaining to the people that this is how it's going to be in Africa, so you're getting a good taste of it. But hopefully that won't happen here tonight. We made an announcement this morning, as well as just our brother just did a few minutes ago, that Mitch and Sharon are going to be sharing tonight. Actually, it'll be Mitch and my son Daniel. Daniel is going to be doing the slides, so he's been trying to help out a little bit. In fact, they each want to have their chance to help out with the slides. So we're just going to see how Daniel does tonight. Let him try. So, but before we do, let's just open up in a word of prayer, and before we look into God's Word. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your love to us. We're thankful that you care enough to send your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for us. We pray, dear Lord, that as we open your word, that we would get a blessing and that you would get the honor and glory that you so much deserve. And we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't have the mic on. Is that correct? Is that the right thing to do? I don't have it on until I have the slides. Is that the right thing to do? Doesn't matter. Sometimes it's interference. Okay. Tonight, I'd like to look at Nehemiah. It's a book that I've kind of been looking at, particularly because of some of the things that have gone on in Zambia recently. There's been a lot of building going on there, and I've been involved with, and so I was kind of looking and studying and seeing about some people who were builders, and I'd like to look at Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 16. If you know anything about Nehemiah, the first six chapters of Nehemiah talk about Nehemiah building up the walls of Jerusalem. And then the later chapters, after chapter 6, it talks about where Ezra is now taking over being the priest. And you don't hear a whole lot about Nehemiah. He kind of steps back in the forefront, and he's kind of in the shadows. But in verse 15, we see that the walls are complete. But I'd like to read verse 16 of chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And it came to pass that when all the enemies had heard thereof, and all the heathens that were about Saul, these things, they were much cast down in their hearts and in their eyes, for they perceived that the work was wrought of God. Let's read it once more. And it came to pass that when all the enemies heard thereof, and all the heathens that were about saw these things, that they were much cast down in their eyes, for they perceived that this work was the wrought of God. We see that no matter what kind of work we're involved with, we have a pattern how we get to the Lord, or we call upon Him, or how we start things out. And thinking of building, I think of Nehemiah being a builder, not only a physical builder, but a spiritual builder as well. He was very interested not only in the physical building, but to make sure that the people that were helping him building the wall, they would also be in tune with the Lord. And I hope that as we look at just a few points that I'd like to bring out, 3 points actually, that I hopefully you'll be encouraged to think that we're all part of that building. not the physical building that you see around here and like you're going to be celebrating in just a little bit at the end of this month, but God's building, His house, which is the people are a part that are a part of the fellowship. And the first thing I'd like to bring out is that no matter what kind of work we're involved with, it's ultimately the Lord that gives the blessing. It reminds me of the verse in Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1. You need not turn to it. And it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, we can work, we can strive, we can do anything that we want. But just as Nehemiah, when he started to work off, he realized that it was a work that needed more than he could handle. He needed someone that was stronger and more capable to do the work. And he called upon a stronger person to help him, the God of heaven. And we know that if we call upon the Lord and ask Him, He will help us. And if we call upon Him, He will not only help us, but He will bless the work that we're involved with. So the first thing is that the work that we're involved with is only accomplished when the Lord is involved and helping. And He is ultimately the one that gives the blessing. The second point that I'd like to bring out is in verse 4 of chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 4, and we see what Nehemiah does when he first hears about the words of the walls being broken down. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We see Nehemiah was concerned, but he was not too concerned or too involved with the things about him to not take time to pray. He took time and called upon the God of heaven and asked Him for help, because he knew that the work that he had was a mighty work to do, and it was a strong work, and it was a heavy work, a heavy load. And so he called upon the God of heaven. He showed deep concern. It says that he mourned and wept for days. He was not just thinking, oh, this is a passing thing, but he knew that it was something that he had to set before the Lord of heaven. You find, if you look throughout the book, you'll find that Nehemiah not only prays one time here, but he prays throughout. And particularly when he goes right before the king in chapter 2 and verse 4, he shoots up what I would call a short arrow prayer. And some of the commentaries actually call it that, a short arrow prayer, where it would be like if you were out in the middle of a battlefield and you know that something is happening. Maybe something's happened, someone's gotten hurt, and you quickly pray, Lord, help me, please, to have the strength to go through this. And Nehemiah was already prepared. So when he went before the king, he didn't panic. He had already prayed. He set his path. And then he prayed again quickly when the king said, what are you coming here for? He prays a short prayer to the Lord and says, Lord, please help me at this time of need. So no matter where we are, we need to know that we need to set things first before the Lord. And if the Lord is involved, He will bless. And secondly, we need to start all our work off with prayer, just like Nehemiah did. And I want to thank each one of you for praying for us as the work we have been involved with in Zambia. It's the Lord's work, but ultimately it's all of our work that we're involved with, whether we're physically putting our hands to the work there, or whether we're praying, or whatever the work we may be doing. It's the Lord's work, and we are the instruments in His hands. And if we commit our work before Him, He will bless. And that brings to the third point, and that is what I've kind of just mentioned just now, that as you pray for us, it's a teamwork. It's a tremendous teamwork. It's not just an individual, one-man show. Too many times you find in the world today, people like a one-man show. They like to look at yourself and say, look at me, look what I've done, look at all the wonderful things that I've accomplished. But you see, that's not what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah had his people with him, and they stayed with him and worked with him. Some of them, as we see in chapter 3, were actually priests. You may think of the priest saying, oh, sorry, I can't get my hands dirty. But you see, they were even involved with building of the walls. And so, we need to be involved with the work that the Lord has given us as a teamwork. And I'm thankful for each one here that has been involved with the work in Zambia, praying faithfully for us. And we're thankful for that. It's a teamwork. So, to go over the 3 points, the work started off with his blessing because it was put before him. Secondly, the work was started off with prayer. And thirdly, it's a teamwork. All of us together, working together. And ultimately, we can say, as we see in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 16, and it came to pass that when the enemies heard thereof, and the heathens that saw these things, that they were cast down, and their eye cast down to their eyes, for they had perceived that this work was the work of God. And we pray that as the work goes forth in Zambia, the people around will realize that it's not our work, but it's God's work. And that ultimately, He will get the blessing. Because it's His work. And we're just the instruments and tools to help in the work that the Lord has given us to do. So now I'd like to just show you some of the slides and some of the work that you all have been involved with prayerfully over the past few years. And hopefully, as you look at these, you'll be able to pray more intelligently and know more about what's going on in Zambia. Short introduction of a little bit of music. Hopefully you'll understand the song that they're going to be singing. It'll be my children singing this. It may not be such a great idea to join the hippos in the water, but there could be no doubt that Zambia is a country of great opportunity to serve the Lord. Zambia is located in the heart of Africa. The doors of the gospel, the word of God, are wide open. To visit Zambia, you could fly into Lusaka, the capital, but Lilongwe, where we live, is a long 12-hour drive by road into the bush. Zambia can be beautiful. The water over the Zambezi River flows over the spectacular Victoria Falls. Its wildlife generally are confined to the game parks. and in their natural habitat are a wonder to behold. Beautiful flowers can be seen in abundance in season. To visit La Loma, you could fly from Lusaka in a small airplane and land in a grassy airstrip 25 kilometers from her house, or you could use the more usual means by car over the roads over varying terrains. As you drive the 12 hours inland, you would notice other common means of transportation. Walking being the most common. Approaching the Loma, you would likely see the local taxi service, an ox cart. And by the end of the day's drive, you could arrive quite exhausted too. As the sun sets, you can look forward tomorrow seeing firsthand some of the great opportunities to serve the Lord. On awakening in the morning, first sounds you would hear would be voices. People are coming to the mission, to either the hospital or to the hammer mill to get their corn hammered into a flour. At the hammer mill, the people line up with their bags to get their corn hammered into a flour. A good wife will make sure that a basin of warm water is ready for her as she arises. As the sun arises, the women make their way to the fields. Here they're bringing home some harvest manioc roots, which are soaked in water, dried in the sun, and pounded into a flour. Then the flour is sifted, ready to be mixed with boiling water into a shema. These young girls and women fish with homemade fishing baskets. The father of these two young girls heard the gospel for more than 50 years. Benny, whom you see here, knew he needed to be saved, but put it off. The day before we left to come on furlough, he came to say goodbye. This time he was ready. It was a thrill to hear him pray and accept the Savior into his life. The boys and men use dugout canoes to catch fish, and if they're lucky, they will go home with a tasty tiger fish. This gentleman came pleading for work. His wife had died from TB, and her parents had accused him of causing the death, thus charging him with a large sum of money. Besides fish and leaves to flavor shema, mushrooms grow in abundance in the rainy season. This young boy had to dig to find his morning snack, and what a reward, some tasty crickets. By the way, Michael enjoys them too. Laundry and dishes need to be washed, and then the clothing hung out to dry. Other things to occupy time, such as beautiful basket making. These boys invented a toy which makes a large putt-putt, makes a loud putt-putt noise as it's pushed. We may not have mobile homes, but we do have mobile roofs. Look closely. Can you locate the hidden danger in the picture? Though it's only 2 foot long, this night adder is very venomous. We found it outside Mom's house. She was very thankful to see it killed. As Christians, we need to be on our spiritual guard at all times. Just as there is spiritual darkness here in America, there is spiritual darkness of a different sort in Africa. This is the Likishi, which is supposed to represent a resurrected spirit man. They are full of deceit, but yet many people still fear them, or at least the power that they represent. These termites were very active in our linen closet, and we had failed to check and sweep for a few days, and this was the result. This reminds us as Christians we need to keep short accounts with the Lord. Mosquitoes that carry malaria are prevalent in our area, so mosquito nets are a must. As a family, the most important part of our daily lives is our three children. Daniel and Rochelle both attend Sakeji School. Daniel is seated to the far right in the picture. The school motto, "But continue thou," reflects the desire for spiritual growth as well as a good education. Reunion day at the end of term is always filled with joyful emotion. Daniel's friends look on as he leaps into the car with us, knowing and the others know that their parents are not far behind in the lineup of cars. Michael has not yet started school. He enjoys playing with his friend Ndua, whom you see here. Please pray for Ndua. We have just received word that his young mother has passed away with AIDS, and Ndua is taking it quite hard. Dreams and plans. As we watch your children grow up and play out their dreams, we pray that together and individually, our lives will honor the Savior and reflect that we love Him because He first loved us. Being on a mission station requires working together closely with others on a daily basis. Our co-workers, our missionary co-workers, are from Canada, Ireland, England, and USA. We're thankful to the Lord, despite our varying personalities, that we have a unity in service for the Lord. Tim Beard, who you see here with our children, has just come out from England. He is living in our home. Pray for him as he learns the language and takes over the teaching of the Bible in the schools in my absence. I was advised once that a missionary needs to be willing to do anything. The Bible tells us that whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily with all your might, and do it heartily as unto the Lord. I am thankful to be able to use my hands repairing diesel pumps, rebuilding, finding a problem on a main water supply, or even replacing an old hot water system to a home. We formed our own Roto-Rooter service to solve this problem. The roots had grown into the sewage system. Of course, there is always vehicle maintenance and repair work. This 90 kVA generator was an answer to prayer of a few years. It was an exciting day when we installed it. The Lord knows our needs. Maintenance? Yes. After surgery one day, I was called to look at the OR light, which appeared to be falling down from the ceiling. On inspection, I noticed that there was termites had eaten the planks, thus weakening the structure. In order to do this job, we had to first organize the buying of the planks, which are all made by hand, then go into the bush and bring them in to the mission station. By the way, there was no emergency surgery during the time that the OR was closed down. Isn't the Lord good? It is satisfying to see jobs completed. It has been a chance for me to get to know the men that I work with. I have been having weekly Bible studies with four of them. Two of the men have recently been saved and are going on for the Lord. One young man has not yet trusted the Lord. Pray for Patrick that he would yield to the Lord. These past 4 years have included lots of building work, mainly in the hospital. Once plans are made, we start by going out and bringing in the sand for the mixing of cement. In this case, we borrowed a cement mixer from another mission and to help mix the cement. But normally the cement is all mixed by hand with shovels. Even the blocks are made by hand. This new outpatient building was planned to better accommodate the 300 to 500 outpatients we have a day. One efficient worker used his hair to be sure that he didn't lose any of his nails. Trusses need to be made by hand. And now the building is starting to look complete and the plaster being put on. This new 16-bed pediatric ward is aptly called the Ark. The new outpatient building has made a difference in assessing patients. In the private rooms, one can listen to the baby's heart tones better and have more freedom if spiritual needs arise. Margie Gould, who's from Canada, who's not in the picture, and Marion Ronald and Daisy Hannah are also from Canada. Daisy and Marion have been at La Loma since 1965, and Dr. Bonnie Weber and Tanis Walker have joined us 2 years ago. Mother and my wife Sharon help out on a part-time basis. We're thankful for the Zambian Christian staff that we have that help out in the spiritual work, though the practical work of the hospital is very heavy. The priority of keeping the work going is the spiritual work. Mothers can go home with their babies wrapped in new lovely baby outfits thanks to the ladies here and workers together in the USA. On this occasion, they also went home with some laminated text. Thank you for your help. At the Well Baby clinics, mothers come back after their weighing. They get their routine checkups and anti-malarial and prophylactics and vitamins. Also, the routine immunizations. Keeping 120-bed outpatients requires feeding, so the cooks have to prepare the food, and then weekly we buy the local food to help in feeding other patients. It is good to see the malnourished children slowly improving. We show you these children ready for their dressing changes to thank those of you who send roll bandages which can always be used. Sometimes all that is needed is just a hug and some love. Inside the male ward, notice the paint tins to elevate the foot of the bed. Every day, 300 to 500 outpatients hear the gospel preached, and the inpatients hear the gospel preached formally and informally, one-on-one. Every other Sunday, Mom and Sharon have Bible classes with the children and mothers at the hospital. Their faces reflect as they listen. Please pray for the Lord to use this outreach. According to Zambian culture, death is not natural. Someone must have caused the death. Supposedly, the witch doctor has the power to figure out who has caused the death. The accused is then beaten or sent away from the village. Neighbors had accused this lady of causing the death of the relative, which actually died of cerebral malaria. We were able to rescue the lady before she was beaten to death and bring her to the hospital. She was in such a state of shock that when we took her to the hospital, she could not even talk for a few days. Some time later, after she was discharged, she made an open profession of salvation. Other opportunities at La Loma to serve the Lord are through visitation in the villages, or perhaps just encouragement for some physical help of some sort. Perhaps a follow-up after hospitalization, or for more formal evangelism or gospel outreach. Daisy and Marion each week have weekly sewing and Bible studies, one for young mothers and one for young girls. In the bookshop, we stock vernacular and English Bible studies and study aids and literature. Noah and Grace, who you see working here, work weekly in the bookshop, and we're thankful for their bright Christian testimony that they show in the bookshop. Daisy, with Grace's help, helps out in Emmaus, correcting in the vernacular and also in English. Sunday school work is an important outreach. The majority of the population of Zambia are young people. It is while the hearts are still young and tender that the Word of God is best received. This Christmas year-end party was full of fun and games. The children got small prizes for the games and were rewarded for the Bible memory work and attendance. Again, we want to thank those of you who have been so good in sending the needed prizes. Of course, all 400 children show up on prize giving day at the end of in December. One grade 5 boy quoted 72 verses at one sitting from the Gospel of John. It was with great joy and pride that he received a new Bible, a scripture calendar, and baseball cap as his reward. We are glad to be able to use these prizes and some for some of the surrounding villages as well. We also enjoy using our home as an outreach, as you can see here, some of the texts that were given from Uncle Dave Stifler. And then after that, we have a time of Bible study, singing, and quizzes, and refreshment. Every Sunday afternoon, we hold an English gospel service in this classroom, which is a government school. We have been thankful to the Lord to hear good news that since we've been here, that one of the Christian teachers of the school's father trusted the Lord at the English gospel service just a few weeks ago. Wilma Geddes from Northern Ireland and I have been helping out in this school in the past few years. We have used this government curriculum that the students write their national exams from. So while after organizing the maintenance crew, I enjoy a brisk ride to the school and have to leave the Bibles there for the students to study by later on. This is one of my classes I taught last year. Four religions are taught in Zambia: Hinduism, Muslim, Christianity, and traditions of Zambia. So while I have to teach basics of each, I have full freedom to ask, let us see what God says. What does the Bible say about such things as death, suffering, about marriage, and so on? It's a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. We invite these students and others to come to our youth camps that are held separately for boys and girls according to their grades. Yes, they enjoy times of games and friendship, but cabin devotions are a special time and closeness for the smaller groups. We ask for your prayers for these camps that are held from May through July, that the young people will respond and follow the call of God. It is an encouraging time for counselors as we work together. Some of the men counselors are elders in outlying assemblies. There is a real need for solid Bible teaching in Zambia, particularly in the small rural areas. With this vision to help meet this need, we have had Bible teaching conferences at our campsite for Sunday school teachers, for married couples, for elders, and so forth. In order to better accommodate this increasing work that's going on at the campsite, we did some outdoor dining, more work on outdoor and dining facilities, and also for the shower blocks. Willing Christians came for 2 weeks of work, and after working during the day, in the evening, enjoyed a time around God's Word. Volunteer cooks prepare sweet potatoes for the breakfast. And then they prepare the main meal of the day, shima, made with manioc or cornmeal. Everyone is always ready for some physical food as well, for some of them have come from many miles. We trust that the Lord will bless and build up His work. On this occasion, on a weekend at a distant assembly, it was an encouragement to the work with the Christians there as they took upon themselves to re-roof this widow's house with the old drums. Of course, there's always counseling one-on-one. As the Lord works together, it is God who causes the growth. It is the joy to gather together at the river and observe baptism for those who are willing to obey the Lord. Three young high school students have recently made commitments to the Lord and were asked to be baptized. Two of them come from very different, difficult homes. Pray for these and others that temptations are so great and strong for these young people, but greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Is all this effort worth it all? Colin and Joyce, whom you see sitting on our couch in our home, are an example of how the Lord can change and keep lives for His glory. 15 years ago, Joyce had to have emergency surgery. She knew that she was close to death, and while she was on the operating table, she made a profession of salvation. We found out later that it was not just an emotional response in a time of crisis, because some weeks later, her unsaved husband came to the missionary nurses and said, "Thank you for giving me back my wife. Now she's not drinking beer. Now she's a Christian. She feeds and takes clothes and takes care of all of us." But Colin himself still did not trust the Lord. It took another 10 years of Joyce living a consistent life, being a faithful wife and mother, praying faithfully for her family. 3 years ago, Colin was hospitalized for dysentery. While he was in the hospital, he trusted the Lord as his Savior. Now, for the past couple of years, it's been a testimony to see the couple working joyfully for the Lord. We are thankful to have the privilege of working in Zambia to see the good hand of the Lord upon His work. Despite discouragements and difficulties at times, we can say, as the writer of Revelation wrote, "Worthy art thou, for thou wast slain, and did purchase for God with thy blood from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. "Worthy is the Lamb." Lights, please. Thank you very much. I see that it's 8 o'clock, so I won't ask for any questions at this time. I won't go over. I'll just close in prayer, and I'll be up front if you have any questions that you may have. Shall we close in prayer? Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your love to us. We're thankful for Your faithfulness in keeping watch over each one of us, wherever we are. We're thankful that we can commit our hand, our work, and our things into Your hands, knowing that You are the ultimate one who give the blessing. And we pray, dear Lord, that as we think of the work here that's going forth here in Blaisdell, that You would bless and undertake. We think particularly of the work that's going to go forth at the end of this month with the centennial. We pray that those that come out, that You would speak to the hearts of the people, and that there would be many that would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray for the work in Zambia as well, and throughout the world, that You would bless, and that there be many that would come to know You as Savior. And we just give You thanks and praise, and may all the honor and glory be given to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.